slow on the uptick there this morning. It is Mike Wittmacher with you here on WMAY, and this Thursday, March 21st, first full day of the NCAA tournament. And at this time throughout the week, we'll be going through different regions of the men's NCAA tournament. The women's tournament is going to be really exciting as well. We've talked about it before, about how more recognizable stars in the women's tournament than the men's tournament. In fact, there's more and more people playing the women's tournament, filling out brackets for that than there has ever been before. But we will not be going through that. We will be going through the men's tournament. But I would highly recommend anyone who loves the sport of basketball, keep an eye on the women's tournament as well. There's some really, really amazing basketball. You know Caitlin Clark, but Juju Watkins, you know about Angel Reese. South Carolina is undefeated. So there's a lot to like on that side of the equation as well. But we will finish up going through the men's NCAA tournament bracket, trying to help you out best we can. You can take my advice. You can go against everything I say and see how you do. Inevitably, you try to be as well informed as possible. But when it comes to the NCAA tournament, one thing for certain is they call it March Madness for a reason, because madness will happen from time to time. There'll be a lot of upsets, and eventually Pearl from accounting ends up winning your office pool. But we'll break down the Midwest, the final region that we have not gone over as of yet. Just to recap, I have UConn coming out of the East. That is the same region that has the Fighting Illini, although I wouldn't be surprised. The Illini are playing really well right now, but they just haven't done real great in the tournament in recent history. They can make it through that first weekend. They are a dangerous team. But I have UConn coming out of the East. I have Arizona coming out of the West, another team that really hasn't done well underneath their new coach, Tommy Lloyd. They've done really well in the regular season, but not in the tournament thus far. I think they have enough to get out of the West. In the South, we have Kentucky, kind of a dark horse. I just don't trust that number one seed, Houston, there. And that brings us to the Midwest with a team that last year became only the second number one seed ever to lose to a 16 seed, Purdue. They're once again a number one seed with probably player of the year, two-time player of the year. He will most likely be Zach Edey. They take on Grambling State, who beat Montana State last night in one of the first four games. I think Purdue, obviously, right, the loss of last year weighing on their shoulders. We saw the only other number one seed ever to lose to a 16 seed came back the next year and won the whole damn thing in Virginia. So I got Purdue winning pretty easily. Then you got the 8-9 matchup is Utah State versus TCU. I'm going to go Utah State. I think the Mountain West was a better conference. They got six teams in, but they didn't get a lot of high seeds as far as like 1s, 2s, or 3s. They got a lot of middle of the road and higher seeds than that. Lower seeds, I guess I should say, depending on how you want to use that term. But I'm going to take Utah State in that matchup. The next one, 12-5s are always ripe for an upset, and I think this is probably one that is ripe for that. McNeese State is a really, really good team. Their coach, Will Wade, used to coach at LSU. He got fired for recruiting violations, giving money to players, which now is not a big deal because of NIL. So he is back in a big way. They're taking on my Gonzaga Bulldogs. Full disclosure, my favorite team. I've been a fan since 1999, so going on 25 years now. I got my Zag Manda shirt. I have a countdown clock in my home until they tip off later on today. I'm going to go Gonzaga, but if you want to take McNeese State, go right ahead, because I think that's probably an upset that may happen. Up next, we have Kansas versus Samford. This one, I think, is really ripe for an upset. If you're looking for one of those really high seeds, taking out a lower seed, taking out a blue blood, Kansas got terrible. Kansas has been struggling down the stretch anyway. And they sat two of their best players in the Big 12 tournament and were eliminated first game they played. Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullers Jr. It was announced yesterday that Kevin McCullers Jr., the leading scorer for Kansas, will not play in the NCAA tournament because of that injury. And Hunter Dickinson still probably not going to be at 100%. And Samford is a team that they play 10 guys, 10 minutes or more, and they play 12 guys at least 7 minutes or more. So they run at you in waves. They're athletic. They're long. They just kind of play with panic all around, reckless abandon, and really put pressure on a team. And Kansas now, without McKellar's Jr., the rotation was already small to begin with, and now they're going to be pushed up and down the court by Samford. I'm going to take the 13-seed Samford in a big upset there. We move down to the bottom half of the bracket, South Carolina versus Oregon. Oregon, the Pac-12 tourney champs, have underperformed a majority of the year. Part of that is because of the fact that they didn't have their best player the first 10 games of the season. He's played the last 20. They've been much better. South Carolina was picked to finish dead last in the SEC in preseason polls by the coaches, but ended up finishing tied for second. That's a toss-up game for me. I'm going to go Oregon in that one. I like 11-6 upsets. Creighton versus Akron. Give me Creighton. Creighton's a team that made it to the Elite Eight last year. They returned everybody except their point guard, or a majority of guys except their point guard, who's now the point guard for Gonzaga. But they have a big seven-footer. They got athletic wings. They got guys who can score, so give me Creighton in that one. Texas will take on Colorado State. I'll take Texas. And then Tennessee versus St. Peter's, who were the darlings of the tournament a few years ago. The Peacocks made a sizable run in the tournament. Don't see that happening this year, though. Tennessee plays very good defense under Rick Barnes. Dalton Knecht is a really good player. He's put up 39 in some games. He transferred in from Northern Colorado. Really good player. So give me Tennessee in that one. Second round matchups, as far as I got, Purdue-Utah State. I think Purdue continues to win. Gonzaga versus Samford. Give me the Zags, although, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if that game ends up being McNeese State versus Samford. But give me the Zags in that one, the way I have my bracket set up. Oregon-Creighton. I will take Creighton in that one. And Texas-Tennessee, I'll take Tennessee. Then looking ahead, Purdue versus Gonzaga. They played earlier this year. Purdue won by a healthy margin. I'm a big Zags fan, but I'm not even, you got to pick with your head at times. You can go with your gut for some upsets early on, but I'm a realist when it comes to my team. They're not being Purdue. So give me Purdue to advance to Elite Eight. Creighton, Tennessee. That one's a tough one. Tennessee didn't play real well in the SEC tournament. Creighton, like I said, made it to Elite Eight before. I'm going to take Creighton over Tennessee. I think Creighton, who beat one of the rare teams to beat UConn earlier this year. Now, granted, they made 14 threes in that particular game to blow out UConn. It was on their own home floor. But these Creighton Blue Jays have been there, done that. And so give me Creighton in that one. And then Purdue-Creighton, that one kept me up at night to try to pick. Purdue has so much baggage, so much weighing on them. They've lost to double-digit seeds way too often under Matt Painter. Obviously, coming off of losing to a 16 seed last year, they're on a mission. They have that chip on their shoulder. But give me Creighton. They have the Big East defensive, back-to-back Big East defensive player of the year in seven-footer Kalbrenner. I think he can match up with Zach Edey. I know Edey's got a couple inches on him, but he knows how to play defense. And I think the rest of the guys on Creighton can match up well with Purdue. So give me Creighton in that matchup. So I got Creighton coming out of the Midwest. So my final four is UConn, Arizona, Kentucky, and Creighton. When we get to the final four, I got UConn beating Arizona, Kentucky beating Creighton, and the championship game, give me UConn over Kentucky. Going out of the limb there with Kentucky. Kentucky is a feast or famine in this tournament. Can Calipari get them to even care just a smidge about defense? They are loaded with NBA talent up and down that roster. Rob Dillingham, Reed Shepard, Antonio Reeves, DJ West. The list goes on and on. Can they even focus for a second on defense? If they can, they can make it as far as I have them making it. If not, they could be out early, and my bracket could be busted pretty damn quick. So that's the look at the NCAA tournament. According to me, once again, my final four, UConn, Arizona, Kentucky, and Creighton. And I have UConn beating Kentucky in the national title game. If you missed any part of these breakdowns, like I said, the first three, the East, the West, and the South, already up for podcast at WMAY.com. Just search for the Mike Wimacher Show, or just, you know, search the Mike Wimacher Show wherever you find your podcast. You can also like the Mike Wimacher Show on Facebook, and the links are there for you as well. And I will have the Midwest one posted in enough time for you to be able to listen to it before having to turn your brackets in by 11 today. By the way, when I say podcast, you know what happens next. Mike and Molson, Too Good for Radio podcast. Find it wherever you find your podcast. New episodes every Friday.